welcome to Marooned at a MacBytes headquarters, a day 57. Caught up with myself now, I know it's 57. Hello, and how is everybody? It's sort of the morning after the night before here, isn't it, Mike? Boris. Boris and his, what should we say, proclamations that apparently took a 50-page document to explain. Nice one, Boris. Anyway, you said it was very busy, didn't you?
It is very busy.
So it looks like and all chip, back to normal.
And the chip is open. Not well, being in there.
Civilization has returned to MacBytes headquarters. The chip shop round the corner is open.
Good morning, Neil.
Oh, is Boris having another dabble, Jonathan? Not again. What's this? The explanation of yesterday. Hello, Paul. Is he on now? Because I just saw Keir Starmer. He was the only one I saw. Let's have a look.
Neil's got up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Neil! Wow!
Good morning.
Good morning to you, Neil.
Good morning, bleary-eyed.
It's like that. Good morning, Vietnam. Good morning, Vietnam! Only it's good morning, Sydney.
He's taking questions on the media and the public. I read that in his media, his public momentarily.
Jonathan, give us the short version. I sat and I watched what he had to say in the House of Commons until I fell asleep. No, actually, that's not true. Until I lost the will to live.
Lost the plot.
I did lose the will to live. In that case, we'll leave your challenge until later because we've literally just been trying to work it out for you. And we were so close to being there, weren't we, Mike?
We were.
Cornflakes and drinking coffee. You're amazing, Neil. 4 o'clock, I'm just usually heading off to bed.
And I'm thinking about getting up.
You are usually, yeah, you're right. He's crazy. 5 o'clock. Mind you, that's not early for Neil. So, Jonathan, before he starts, your challenge. So we need to see you and we need to see slides, preferably the two in sync, with you picture in picture. For free or with something off set up? Is that the challenge? Have I succinctly got the challenge? Oh, I'll fill them in on what's happening, Mike, while you head off and deal with it.
What, you mean she's yipping?
Yes. When Lola arrived here, she was literally so quiet. You never heard a peep. She could go out for a walk in the morning at 7 o'clock and just sleep like a baby until about 5 o'clock when she went out again. Not going out in the interim. Well, in the 7 months she's been here, she's turned into Mayor, who needed to be out every 5 seconds, checking his grounds. So today she went out for her first walk. She was fine. Then Mike went downstairs and she wanted to go out again. So she went out again. Then we went downstairs to have lunch. And she was sat outside all the while we were having lunch. Quite happy with the little self. And we just sit there laughing because she's somehow taken to sitting in exactly the same spot that Maya did. Mike's just got some photographs out and he took a photograph of her today. And he put one of her and one of Maya next to each other. Identical twins, literally. So he then goes on a conference call for an hour and a half. Luckily, in the other room, because there were bad words said in this one. Yip! I thought, she's pulling the other one. All right, so I left her be. Now, I've got cameras downstairs, as you know, Lola Cam. So what I decided... Oh, here he is. He's coming on now, Jonathan. I'm leaving him with you in your tender care. Give us the short version. So... These cameras are obviously for me to keep an eye on her, but they've got two-way audio on them. So I'm sat up here and I tapped on the camera and I said, "What are you doing? Settle down." I could see on the camera, she's looking around like, "Where's that voice coming from?" But she did, she settled down. So I thought, that's absolutely fine. She needs to be settled down. End of. Anyway, about 20 minutes later, she started again, but this time she yipped twice. So I knew she wanted to go out. So I head off down the stairs, let her out. About 5 minutes, 10 minutes, came back in. Mike then came in. He took her out. So she'd been out for another walk while I was finishing up. She's come back in. She's been run around the garden. And we do this thing before we go live. Sometimes, if we're early enough, otherwise it's like just press go live and we're done. But tonight we were a bit earlier and we were discussing Jonathan's problem. So we're sitting here and Mike usually does this laugh. He says, oh, right, it's 15 seconds. Then he's like, 12, 11, 10, 9, good luck, studio. And the next minute there was, yip, yip. So he's had to go downstairs now. She's a menace. Oh, what is she up to today? Hello, Kim. Just up from a nap and eating some fresh chicken salad. Ooh, 4 o'clock. Wow. Neil's up at 4 o'clock. He's having cornflakes and drinking coffee. I don't drink coffee. Maybe that's why I'm not a morning person. We did have the most amazing news today. Never mind Boris and all his buffoonery. I'd had some water in the basket at Morrison's, which is the one that comes via Prime now, for 10 days, 11 days since the last delivery. And I wasn't in a particular rush with the water. It was just, I'll leave the water in the basket and then I can just add to the basket. So we didn't really need much. Trying to remember what was in the actual order, but I did want some rubber gloves. And Morrison's had rubber gloves at 44 pence for two pairs. I couldn't believe it. They're probably like paper. But I thought, you know, worth a try, I thought. So I put those in the basket. I think I put in something like soap and a bit of stuff like that. Not much, basically. But we could have done with it. So I'm looking at the order and I said, well, I could wait till tonight to try and sign out, etc. But I thought, you know what, just see now. But the freezer's full, we're happy to report. So literally, we're still at Morrison's, only on being able to buy three things at a time. But we thought it's probably worth checking out now because they don't charge you delivery anyway. So there I was, minding my own business. So I clicked on the checkout and it came up with a delivery slot. And I'm like, whoa, literally just no messing. Not like we're out of stock, you'll have to come back 27 times until Thursday. There was one delivery slot and it said 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. So I'm quickly trying to do a mental calculation to make sure we've not got something where we both need to be between 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. tomorrow. At which point, bearing in mind this was 1 o'clock today, I realised this delivery slot wasn't for tomorrow. It was for today at 5 o'clock. I thought, same day delivery? Really? So I grabbed the slot before it disappeared and he brought it. Absolutely stunned here. We were absolutely stunned. So we're working on the principle now. We're going to be looking to go back to what we were doing before, which was basically Mike would go out for shopping once a week. And it would probably take about 3 to 4 hours, you know, to go from one shop to another to get the stuff you want. But Morrison's has pretty much got everything. So we've decided we're going to just keep going with Morrison's, but we're going to try and get a delivery on a Friday, a Saturday or a Sunday and do it as a standard shop. And that way we don't ever have to go out again, really. So success. So, but we were amazed. We were amazed. So obviously this going back to work malarkey's, people are not thinking about shopping. So we got everything apart from one bottle of water. I hear the chicken. Yeah, I hear the chicken.
She's at the top of the stairs.
We can all hear her yipping. I was telling them about my amazing shopping success.
Yeah.
Yes, same day delivery.
Yeah.
No charge. Wow. Eventually, I'm assuming they'll allow you to have more of everything. But I'm saying we're going to go to Morrison's, aren't we? Full stop.
Yeah.
Boris is still showing the same slides from yesterday. I'm saving you all from Boris's ramblings.
Kim, here's chicken.
Yes, chicken's
out. Right, Kim.
Chicken is
out. We've got chicken. We've got green.
Dragon.
And we've got Foxy.
Oh, she's warming up to Foxy.
They all squeak.
She's warming up to Foxy, but chicken squeaks the most.
Yeah.
Foxy barely squeaks at all. Foxy was a toy that Ollie had. Luckily, I'd seen this toy in Pets at Home. So it's like a standard toy because she took to it. But I think she took to it because it wasn't hers, it was Ollie's. But when Ollie went home, she was like, where's Foxy gone? So we bought her own Foxy. It's been here 6 months and she's not really bothered with it. Now she's warming to it. Now she's ripped the other toys to shreds.
That's it. That's
she does. She leaves it there, very dismissive. I always remember we were coming home from London and we stopped at the service station on the M1 and we pulled in and there was a gentleman there with, was it a black lab? I think it was a black Labrador in the back of his car. Of course, me. Oh, dog! It was before we had Maya. So I remember heading across and saying, you know, can I pet your dog? Like a saddo. I was like 33. Acting like 7. Please, sir, can I stroke your dog? Anyway, he was really lovely and said, yeah, of course you can. So I was like, I've always wanted a dog. And he was saying like the difference between he'd had a boy and he'd had this girl. And that, oh, she's such a princess. She's so standoffish. And that she will turn her nose up at something for a long, long time and then warm to it. He said, but the boys just took to everything straight away. Isn't it strange? Because that's exactly what she's like. And I'd be thinking there was something wrong but for talking to that guy. That's not the first time we did that, you know. We did that all the time. Do you remember when we were going through Stockport? Yeah. Stockport's a town about 10, 12 miles from here. And Mike used to live in a suburb of it called Bramall. And we were going from shop to shop and we were coming down this hill and it can be quite rural up there. They've like built on it, urbanised it, but there was still this beautiful big forest kind of in the middle of these two shopping centres. And he pulled in with a huge car. And he opens the back and out jumps a huge German Shepherd and a Samoyed. What were we like?
Giddy.
That's a Samoyed. This was, did we have a Samoyed at the time?
No.
No, I was lusting after one. So I said to Mike, stop the car. Do like 40 along this dual carriageway. And he screeched in and pulled up next to this guy. And I got out and I said, it's a Samoyed. And I got talking to this guy. And he was so sweet, wasn't he? That was, what was the name of that?
Mr. Richardson.
Polar Richardson. It was Polar. Polar. The dog was called Polar and the other dog was called AJ. And he was saying this AJ, she was a girl, he was a boy, AJ. And he said AJ's like quite reticent because when they're out together, people only want to pet the Samoyed because Samoyed's just so gorgeous. So I made a big fuss of AJ as well. And many, many months afterwards, when we'd got Maya, we went to one of these shopping areas near this forest. And a lady pulled in. And by then, of course, we had Maya. And he's barking his knackers off. And she doesn't look over. She like deliberately looks the other way. And she says, I'd know a Samoyed bark anywhere. And then she turned around and I went, wow. So she said, I've got one. And I looked at the car and I said, that's Polar, isn't it? So you must be Mrs. Richardson. And she went, how on earth do you know that? And we explained that like a couple of years before, we'd met her husband with the two dogs at the forest. Oh, and she was quite right. There's nothing like a Samoyed bark. It can be kind of shrill to the point of annoying because, you know, they need servants, obviously. So what's that? Kim saw the sweetest thing for Mother's Day. Mother was standing in her yard with a mask on and her children and grandchildren at least 6 feet away talking to her. It's heartbreaking, isn't it? It is heartbreaking. I don't know how Nina's coping. Nina's got 3 granddaughters, 12, 8 and 6. And she saw them like 3 or 4 times a week. She'd go and pick them up, you know, if there was an inset day. Now, you probably won't know what an inset day is if you're abroad, but I'm sure Neil does. So maybe Neil can explain it better than me. But basically, it's like a training day. So the children don't go in. Does it mean anything, Neil? Does it stand for anything? Inset. I'm not sure. I-N-S-E-T. So she would go and pick the girls up and she would have them all day. And, you know, she's not been able to see them for over 2 months. She must be going stir crazy. They've not even done the standing at the gate thing because the children are that young. You know, they think they'd done something wrong, that they couldn't actually go up and hug her. So she's not even seen them at the gate. She must be going round the bend.
That's it.
That's the upmarket part of Stockport, Mike. It is. It is, Bramall. It's the posh end. Cheadle Heath, an interesting experience.
Cheadle Heath, that's where Morrison's is.
Yeah, Cheadle Heath is where the Stockport Morrisons is. Isn't it the Hungry Horse, the pub there on the corner?
Yeah.
And but I think it's more towards Adswood that he means. Awesome, awesome. Well, I got it halfway. Well, we'll talk about that because Boris is still prattling on. So Jonathan's got one ear on Boris and one on us.
Yeah.
We'll talk him through it later. I've just had a reminder come up on my calendar, Mike.
For what?
The music of ABBA at the Bridgewater tonight. Oh, well. We've got tickets for that for next year.
No, we haven't.
Oh, no, no, that's...
No, it's the other one we've got tickets.
It's the Stockport one. We were heading over to Stockport. You call them school development days. Same principle, though, isn't it? I think the teachers are in and the children aren't. I'm not sure how many of those there are in a year. We never used to have them. I think that had to happen at the weekend when I was young. She's quieting down with chicken now. Oh, and you call them service days. Why? Wow. In service days.
Yeah, I think we were in service days when I was a kid.
No, we'd never had them.
No.
Never had them.
We did.
Maybe it's because we're at a grammar school. Maybe we weren't allowed. They had a very fine line to tread, the grammar schools, before they got shut down. Oh, you had the start of the return and a quarter of the kids back each day. Are you taking them on a rota or are you kind of building it up to 100% capacity? Here, the teachers are up in arms, as are the parents, to be honest. There's a bit of a chicken and egg going on here. Boris wants people who are unable to work at home to... where their employer is open to go to work. Now, obviously, that would reduce the cost to the government of the furlough scheme. But people are then saying, I can't do that because the schools aren't open. What do you want me to do with my child? Because the schools are only open. In fact, the majority of the schools are open. I'll correct myself there. But only to children of key workers. Or what they call vulnerable children. Now, the term vulnerable child has a legal meaning in the UK. It's basically a child who is on some kind of protection register, or they are fostered, or they are adopted, or vulnerable in some other kind of way. And they are actually allowed to go to school if need be. So the schools are actually open, but for a very small number of students. So social distancing, not a huge problem. If he wants people to go to work, they need somewhere to put the kids. So now he wants to get the schools open by the 1st of June. But there is nothing. What he did yesterday, and you know, if you were with us, you will have heard it. He wants to get the schools open by June the 1st. The teachers are now up in arms because they've got no PPE. So what do you do with a full complement of children trying to keep them apart? And as Neil says, how do you keep 6, 7 and 8 year olds to socially distance? It's impossible. And they haven't got any PPE. So, interesting. Only one case yesterday. No, the stats aren't good here. He seems to be. We've not actually had the figures. Hang on, here you go. 210 in the past 24 hours. But don't forget, you haven't been able to register anything over the weekend because things are closed. So they will shoot up tomorrow because it will be a bank holiday. So tomorrow will include deaths from Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday and possibly Monday. So tomorrow will shoot up. But his whole thing that he announced last night has had to be supplemented by a 50-page document giving the details of it. He was up in Parliament today with people asking questions of him and giving more details. But it's still as hazy as it was because we've got this chicken and egg. The majority of people cannot go back to work because they've got children at home and both parents work. I guess one option is, you know, for one parent to stay at home. And I must admit, I'm probably not going to be popular with this one. But to me, if you have a child, it's your job to look after it, not the school's job. So I appreciate that, you know, in normal circumstances, the child would be at school. But that child could get ill and need to be at home. And it's your job to look after it, not the school's job to look after it. We work on the principle when we think about children, as we do with a dog. We would not choose to leave the dog somewhere like that. So you should not leave your children like that. We have to look after the dog. We are not allowed to let the dog out. If the dog bit somebody, we'd be in trouble. If the dog ran into the road and caused an accident, we'd be in trouble. So we're incredibly careful, and we just think, you know, if it's a skin kid, what's the difference? You need to look after it just as much as we look after the dog. And we had a conference to go to, as you well know. We booked this conference about 14, 15 months ago. We got an early bird deal, and we said, you know what, we'll take 3 days holiday and we'll go up to, and it was up to Newcastle, and we'll have a fabulous time. Newcastle is about 150, 60 miles away, yes, something like that. And then, of course, in October, we adopted Lola. Now, her first family take her and to back to stay with them every now and then. So we said, well, we won't worry about it. We'll just leave it and we'll see how we get on. Then it came to a point of like, we're going to have to book a hotel. And the thing was, there's no way we would have booked a hotel, taken her with her, with us, and left her in the hotel. So it was, well, what do we do with Lola? So we got talking about it, and I said, well, look, the only approach we can take is, even though we'd bought 2 tickets for this conference, we wouldn't leave her at a kennels. There is a kennels round the corner. Literally, the kennels is next door to Rachel's, so it's less than half a mile away. And they have huskies, so they would understand the breed as well, wouldn't they? But I would not leave her at a kennel. She's our responsibility, not anybody else's. So I said, well, we'll go. We'll find a dog-friendly hotel and we'll tag team the conference. You know, you choose the ones you want, the sessions you want to go see, and I'll choose the ones that I want to see, and we'll come to an agreement with them. Obviously, it didn't come to that. But we weren't jumping up and down with like, well, someone else is going to have to look after my dog. It's our dog. It's our responsibility. Circumstances change. But we're hearing a lot of people like, well, what am I going to do with my child? You know, I can't drop them off at my parents for grandparent duty. And there are so many people doing grandparent duty. All our friends in the Catoonians who are, you know, with grandchildren, they do basically a full-time job every week.
They do.
Looking after them. It's amazing. My gran never looked after me like that. To be honest, she wasn't up to it. You couldn't have left with my grandmother. She only had 2 grandchildren, me and my cousin. But he was 6 years younger. So if he was, say, what, 4 and I was 10, you couldn't leave a 4 and a 10-year-old with her. She was riddled with arthritis. She may have been able to look after a baby. Or a sort of 14-year-old, but that the 14-year-old wouldn't have needed looking after. But you know, he was a boy and a jumped-up little monster at that. I don't understand how these people cope. I mean, there's one couple in particular, and they don't really cope, do they? When it comes to Tuesday, they have the kids on a Monday. When it comes to Tuesday, they just take to the bottle. Literally, I don't know how they cope. Oh, dear, dear me. Right, let's go back and have a look at this. August to June, ours is the very, very end of August or September through to about the 20th of July. So in Australia, they wanted to keep them fully open. I don't think that would necessarily have been a good idea for everybody. February to December. Ah, you get good weather, though, don't you, at Christmas? I've seen people have Christmas lunch on the beach. So Neil's heading into winter. Oh, I'd love that. So you're all back full time from the 25th of May. Well, he's hoping for the 1st of June, but there's already people saying they're not going to do it. He's also saying when you say full time, it is full time, he's suggesting, but not with every year group. Now, Mike and I struggle manfully with the year groups because when we were at school, we had... the infants, infant 1, infant 2, infant 3 and infant 4. Then we had junior 1, junior 2, junior 3, junior 4. And then you went to high school and it was year 1, year 2, year 3, year 4 and year 5. Now we do it the American way. So we have preschool, which is from sort of 3 and 4. Then we have year 1 when they're 5. So I think we're identical to you now. He's talking about getting year 1 and year 6 back in. Why there's a panic for year 1, I have no idea. They're not doing SATs or anything, which are all like national tests. But I can understand he wants to get the soon-to-be year 6s in, or even the year 6s, because the year 6s will be leaving primary school to go to high school. So I guess they want them to have a kind of last hurrah or something. But year 1, I can't see the panic. They've been interviewing families who have like 3 or 4 children. And the families are saying, well, we've got one that falls into the age range to be returned to school. and we're worried because the other two will be at home. Is that safe? And they literally don't know. So I think it, unless he gets his act together in the next, well, he hasn't even got a month, has he? He's got about 2.5 weeks. They'll open, but I can't say that all parents will send their children to school. Having said that, maybe more will than I expect because they're sick of the sight of them and they want to rest. I don't know. I really don't know which way that would go.
Stay alert. Stay at home as much as possible. Work from home if you can. Limit contact with other people. Keep your distance if you go out.
And wear a mask.
Wash your hands regularly. Do not leave home if you you or anyone in your household has symptoms.
It's ludicrous. He's, I mean, there's been so many humorous alternatives to his... What's that actually say now? Does it say stay alert?
Stay alert, control the virus, save lives.
How can you control the virus? It's just ridiculous. But let's see how he goes. Let's see how he goes. I didn't realise 2/3 of the deaths were off one cruise ship. I'm never keen on cruise ships myself. We've got a friend who does a lot of them and he ended up marooned. He ended up coming back home about 2.5 weeks late, didn't he? But he was very, very lucky because it was a French ship and they docked them on the French coast and then drove them into the centre of Paris in when it was at its height to Charles de Gaulle to put them on a plane back to Manchester. Now, you know, at the point the ship was heading towards wherever it docked it on the French coast, it was 18 miles from the UK. Why didn't you just drop them off on the way past instead of forcing them through France, Paris, Charles de Gaulle Airport, Manchester Airport, and then finally back home? They're past their 2 weeks and then they escaped, but they were concerned. There was no social distancing at all in any of the transfers. So I'm not really surprised on cruise ships, to be honest. Oh, 1,200 deaths. I'm not sure where we're at, actually, in Manchester. Are you?
No.
It was 560-something the last I heard. But we are now, if you've seen the slides, we're in the northwest of the UK. And that's the highest hospital rate and the highest death rate at the moment. How many tested positive yesterday, Mike? Has he said that?
Hasn't said on here, no.
Well, has he done his slides yet? I'll whiz back and see if he's done his slides. I've got it on the news channel, but I'm not watching it, obviously. If he's done the slides, there should have been a number on the slides. But I don't know if Boris is letting him do the slides.
No, not yet.
Oh, Laura Kunzberg, you know, just for a change. We've gone back to Boris. Oh, no, it's still question time. They usually do the slides after he's finished before they take the questions. But why they're doing it at this time of the night, I don't know. He could have done this at lunchtime or 5 o'clock, because that's interesting. Oh, come on, come on, come on. Here we go. We've got slides. Houston, we have slides. Right, we're going back through the social distancing measures and his 5-point whatever. It's the death slides I'm interested in, Boris. So back we go. No, nothing on the death slides yet. So he's, shall we say, not massaging the figures, kind of cloaking the figures so far. flu's virtually non-existent. I think to some degree this social distancing will stay. I mean, not like it is now, maybe. I think between friends, but out shopping, I can see it staying for a long, long time. One small part of Salford had 200 deaths. Yeah, Salford, we're actually quite close to Salford, but we are in a completely different, Salford's not Trafford, so it's at kind of the edge. Salford joins Trafford, basically, on the left-hand side, so they wouldn't have been included. Can you find any figures, Mike? It was 500 and odd. Let's have a look, see if I can find any. COVID.
On the evening news site.
They usually say, you know, put your postcode in and we'll tell you how many have gone. COVID deaths, Trafford. Let's try that. And I don't know how up to date it would be. We have a UK death one here. So we're at 32,065 overall. In the northwest, that's 10,027. So that's where we are at the moment, 10,027. That's April. So if I go on to that one, does that give me a link where I can get new figures? Or are they just old figures? No, they look like old figures. Do you know, I do give up. I'm looking at the local thing here to give you the latest figures on the death. And I see a couple were threatened out for a walk by three masked men and a high-value watch was stolen.
Oh, that was in Bowdoin.
Yeah.
Yeah, best not tell me mother.
Well, she keeps going out for a walk. I do wish she wouldn't. No figures there. No figures at all. So I've got the national figures. Can't drill down too much. Unless I can get to it from the local council ones. Let's see what they've got. Oh, do you know the other thing you didn't mention at all? Marriages. He didn't mention the over 70s. They were put on lockdown for 12 weeks, 12 to 16 weeks, 8 weeks ago. Didn't mention them. Didn't mention marriages. Makes you wonder about things like christenings, doesn't it?
Mm.
All leisure services are closed. All library services are closed. Some of the parks are closed. All public events are cancelled. No access to taxi licensing. This is great, isn't it? And of course, you know about our bin collection. It gets more complicated. Oh, poor Jonathan. The press are annoying him too much to continue watching. Did that happen when Laura Kunzberg appeared? Because it usually does for me. So what's the consensus? There you go. Let me know, Jonathan. Good, bad, indifferent. And what's the number of infections since yesterday? I'd reckon at least around 3,000, whether they'll admit it or not, it's another business. Stockport County training at the school's all-weather pitch. Do they not have one?
Probably not in 1978, no.
Oh, right.
You read that at Stockport County, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah.
That's because I knew. Pretty much the same as yesterday on terms of message. He's standing behind the stay alert message. I'm not sure what the stay alert message means. Alert to what? Alert to news from him? I don't understand that.
The thing is, when we go anywhere...
Which we're not, but carry on.
No. But after things like the Manchester bomb, if we had to go to the Trafford Centre...
Oh, I hated that.
We would be on high alert, wouldn't we?
Yes, but that's something we can... I can tell them that story. I felt terrible about it, but I couldn't help it. We'd had more than one bomb in the UK, so it's 3 years ago, the Manchester bomb. The Manchester bomb went off...
It's next week,
isn't it? 22nd, I think. When we say the Manchester bomb, we mean the latest Manchester bomb. There's been bombs before. They bombed Lewis's in the early 70s. That was the IRA. There was Warrington, but that's a little bit further away. There was another IRA bomb in 1996 in Manchester, which had completely obliterated the town centre. But this one was at the Manchester Arena. It was an Ariana Grande concert. And 28 died, with hundreds injured. We mean that one. And obviously at the time it was the ISIS thing. And we'd pretty much given up going to the Apple store in the Trafford Centre. But you were very much minded that the targets were choppers at shopping centres. And they'd even done dry runs at the Trafford Centre where they, when it closed at midnight...
Yeah, they'd done it all over Europe in shopping centres, hadn't they?
Yeah, and concerts. Yeah. There was a Paris one, wasn't there?
Yeah.
So you were basically told to be on high alert. High alert for what? Well, I know it's terrible and it's, what do you call it?
Racist. Stereotype.
Profiling. Racially profiled. But if you were out shopping and on the odd occasion, I think we went twice, didn't we? Around the time that this was, you know, rife.
3 years ago we were buying kit, weren't we?
We were. We went in for the iPads, I think it was. So we were getting three iPads and two pencils. So it was June 3 years ago. It was about 3 weeks, two, 3 weeks after the Manchester bomb. And they told you to stay alert. Well, what I was staying alert to, I was racially profiling, I'll be honest. You know, it was dark-skinned, youngish lads with backpacks on. And one of them came into the Apple store and I said to you, I'm done. And we walked out. I know it's shocking, but you can stay alert to that, can't you?
Mm.
And you can make a decision on that basis. I'm not saying you look shifty. It was just, you know, stay alert. They said stay alert. If anything happened and I had seen him and I had just thought, well, never mind, then I would be an idiot. So we waited and we were alert to everything. We were looking behind us, at the side of us, you name it, we were alert. But you can't see this, so I don't understand what I'm supposed to be alert to.
We were even doing that in the 70s and 80s at the football.
Oh, yeah.
When they used to stick that that blues and twos flashy light on.
There was literally a portable light with a rotating light on the top and a siren inside that they used to carry out and put there in the event of an emergency. And the funniest thing that ever happened was they were rebuilding the stadium, Manchester United, and obviously that would be a coup if anything ever happened there, if a bomb went off there. But this was like the early 90s, about 93, 94, 92, 93, something like that. I wouldn't have thought at the time that, you know, bombing was that on the radar.
No.
But we're there, and the Stretford End had been knocked down. And they were rebuilding it. So the entire Stretford End was open to the elements. So it wasn't as secure as it may have been normally. So we're sitting there. Well, we're stood there, aren't we? No, we were sat down. And it was very, very early for a match. So it was about 90 minutes before kickoff. 90 minutes maybe to 105 minutes. Over an hour and a half, definitely. And we're minding our own business. And all of a sudden, this thing comes on the tannoy. And the words were, and this was the entire message, be aware, Mr. Banks is in the stadium, be aware. And I just turned round to Michael and went, bomb alert then. That was their code for there's a potential bomb in the stadium. And nobody moved an inch, did they? It was so laid back. But, you know, you do that now and half the ground would be out of there. It is amazing. Oh, so what's going on in here? 28 in your zip code with 6 deaths. That's frightening. What kind of area does a zip code cover? Just to give you an idea, in the UK, our postcode, which is the same as a zip code, is 8 houses. Other ones are fractionally more, but probably no more than, what would you say, Mike, 10, 12 houses?
Mm.
Maybe 20 tops. I guess with Jonathan, you would have. Do you have one postcode for the entire flats, or do they break it down? For us, it's 8 houses. That's it. The next door neighbour, being on the main road, has a totally different zip code. Ooh, Jonathan's MacBook Pro's on the way. Well, potentially. Arrival still the 26th. Depends how densely populated it is. I think it might. Well, we'll hear what Jonathan's got to say. I don't know whether Jonathan's building. I don't know how many flats are in the building, Jonathan. So is it one zip code, one postal code? You have two postcodes. Changes halfway up the building. Gotta love that. I think there is a limit because they redid them a good few years ago. My mother was incensed. It was before we met. Lucky you. We'd moved into this house when I was 12. I was 12 when we moved in here. So we'd moved in when I was 12 and she'd had some printed notepaper made. Really expensive stuff. What's the make? Royal something or other. Expensive. And we'd lived here about 5 years. She'd got like 500 sheets of the stuff. On the basis she was going to use it forever and ever. They changed the postcode. Mum went orbital. But they changed the postcode to narrow it down. So it was a few houses. So if there's 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. There's probably 15 adults and maybe 5 or 6 kids that live in our postcode. And that's it. So we don't tend to take it down to... I think what would be the equivalent of your zip code is probably the first bit, which for us would be M33. I think that would be more equivalent. If you've got 7,000, how many do you think would live in Sale in the M33?
Don't know.
Probably more than that. Yeah, I think the equivalent would probably be the first bit of it rather than the full thing. We try to narrow it down a bit more. Technically speaking, you can address a parcel in the UK to the house number and the postcode and it would get there. So if you were to put our postcode in the number one, it would get here, supposedly. But that's how good it's going to be. WA15, yeah, that is literally next door to us. We are the furthest south of the Manchester postcodes. So M33, next door is Warrington. And when we lived in Lyme, it was Warrington as well. So yeah, Timperley's next door.
WA15 covers Hale, Timperley, Halebarn.
Yeah. The difference is, because it doesn't make sense to a lot of people, like why it would change, but the difference is where the mail comes from. So for many, many years, we had a postal delivery worker here and we were the end of the run. And the post would arrive at all times of the day and night because it was right at the edge of the area. So just the way it falls. But I don't get the two postcodes changing halfway up the building, Jonathan. That's got me. That's got me beat. Right, let's have a look.
Jonathan's clued up on his celebrity gossip.
Oh, is he?
Oh, is that because of Beverly Hills 90210?
I'm reading back to what Neil's saying about feeling anxious, but you can't help it, Neil, can you? And plus the fact they're telling you to stay alert, so you feel that you need to. I felt bad, but I also felt, you know, you've only got one life and you need to look after it, which is the approach we're taking right now. So the Beetham Tower's got three. Ah, Jonathan, I can understand the Beetham Tower. One must be for the stupid COVID idiots. Put them in a separate postcode. Oh, Neil's got his new MacBook Pro and the keyboard's fabulous. Not sure what keyboard's on the MacBook Air, but I get on quite all right with it. Quite all right with it. Right. Oh, good call, Paul. He's got a link there for me so I can check out all the zip codes. How cool. Your system seems more organised than ours, where they're all numbers, aren't they? Let's have a look. And they all seem quite short numbers as well. Yeah, more organised. Ours are different lengths and things, which can cause havoc with databases. In the event that, you know, you needed to update a postcode, upon what basis are you doing it? We talked about like M33, but then you could have, you may have A123, which is Aberdeen, and then you've got WA123. If you'd have to isolate, you know, do you include the W or not? Because the database will go crazy. I'm loving that, Neil. Postman runs out of puff halfway up. The new MacBooks all have the scissor switches. So does my MacBook Air, which is 2018. I could possibly have butterfly ones. But if I have, I get on all right with them. And I must admit, I didn't take much notice of what keyboard it was on it. Not really bothered. You're alert. Sanitise the doorknobs daily. You do that, don't you, Mike?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know, it's never looked so clean, has it? Everybody's house is in, you know, some of the doors are a bit on the rough side, but the handles are gleaming. This is how we've changed. This is how we've changed. I have a butterfly one, do I? I have absolutely no problem with it at all. I like it. I really do have no problem with it. Not tried the new one. Do have a standard wireless Apple keyboard. Get on all right with that, but I have absolutely no problem. I think it's better than the one I've got on my 2012. So, no, I'm not concerned. I'm not worried. And I love butterflies anyway. Long story about Maya. So, meant to be. I think some of them were okay and some weren't. So, maybe I just lucked out. It's certainly been okay. And I actually enjoy typing on it. A few mistakes, I would say, to be honest. So, we'll see. 16 is replacing a MacBook Air 2019. Couldn't have his keyboard replaced. That's the thing. I know so many people who've had keyboards replaced on Apple Kit. It's ridiculous. Must be costing them a fortune, hence the price going up. Use a wireless external Magic Keyboard with number pad. Yes, that's mine. I was so happy when they brought one out with a numeric pad on it. I love that. Love that. They replaced the entire base. I've heard that too. Something to do with the fact. In fact, it's like the entire metalwork. We had a friend who took one in for repair, a MacBook Pro, 13 years ago, and it came, it was a 15-inch. I had the same model, but the 17-inch. And he had to take it back and forwards four times because they changed parts of it and the case wouldn't close. In the end, they had to replace the entire case. I think it's incredibly difficult to kind of retrofit part of it. So it does make sense to replace the entire thing. No food near computers. No, tends not to be. My keyboard gets cleaned at least twice a day, I would say. And it's still grubby. I don't know what I do with it. I type too much on it, I guess. But I do like cleaning it with isopropyl alcohol. It feels like new when you do that. But of course, you know me. I have been known to stick it under the shower. Just not this one. Not this one. It's such... I think it's a shame, Paul, that with the batteries, you know, that you can't just switch them out. I really miss that. I actually bought two spare batteries so I could go longer. Now, obviously, these days, fair enough, you could buy a charging brick with like 30,000. And that, as long as it's got the right connections, would keep your laptop going. But I still think batteries are a little bit on the fragile side. And if you have to take your laptop in, you are then without that. And at the moment, with all the stores closed, you would have to send it back for repair. You know, you are without kit when you think how expensive this kit is. Whereas if you could just take the battery out and put another one in. But I miss the spare batteries and I miss the ability to up the RAM yourself, which I've done on this. I have a 2009 13-inch MacBook Pro, which was my father's. He had a 17-inch iMac from 2006. But in 2009, he decided he wanted to have something where he could sit with it. So he got this laptop. He absolutely loved it. It's not that heavy, but it's got a DVD in it. I was able to put extra RAM in it. I've changed the hard drive twice. I don't think you can change the battery. I think that is actually on the board. But it was still flexible enough, you know, that it's still going today, which it wouldn't have been, because if he'd have bought it, if it had been like looking at a 13-inch MacBook Pro today, he would have to have gone for a lower spec than Jonathan's gone for just because of the price. In which case, you know, you can't then upgrade it and it's going to last a lot less than it would have done if it was maxed out. But I think at the time, 2009, I mean, I upgraded the hard drive the last time after Mum died. So the earliest it could have been was 2015. And I think I probably did. I did it once after Dad died before Mum died. So that would have been 2014. And I did it again after. So it was probably 2016 or 2017 when I did it the second time. And I put a terabyte in there. And it's like, you know, it's £80. In fact, I don't think it was. I think it was £67. It was either £60 or £67 for a 1 terabyte SSD. And in it went. It's a lot faster. It runs cooler. Everything just lasts longer. I would love to be able to do that. And I know some people also elected to take the DVD out and replace that with an extra hard drive. Which, would I do that? Possibly, because I don't like to use internal drives, even on iMacs. Because if you get a disc stuck in it, you've had it. So I much prefer external DVDs. I've got a drawer full of them. I think they're about 10 to £12 each. They were Samsungs. And I throw them around. I don't get the Apple ones at £80-odd. I do have one Apple one. I did not buy it. It's a long, complicated Apple Care repair that didn't. So they ended up replacing the whole thing. But they were replacing an iMac that had an internal DVD drive with one of the newer ones, the really skinny ones at the side, that didn't. So I said, but it had a DVD. So they had to give me an Apple DVD. So I do have one. But, you know, the Samsung ones, £10-12, are absolutely fine. So I think I might take that out on the basis I don't particularly use it anyway and put an extra hard drive in. Those are the kind of things that I wish they would bring back. They were amazing. Love that. All right. Let's have a look. Your wife tapes your old kit, Neil. That doesn't happen here. It's the other way around. want you to buy more stuff, why they don't let you access it. I totally agree, Kim. And then they have the audacity to say to you, preach to you during their events about how green they are. It's not green for one person to have to use or purchase two laptops over a period where they would otherwise only have one. That's half the planet's resources over that period. But no one seems to say that. Oh, your sister's using your work external keyboard while she's back in Leeds. And after she's done with it, it's going to need a team of cleaners to get the crumbs out of it. Oh, my. Is this, was this one of those? Is it a Mac one? You know the ones they used to have around 2006 to 2008, where they were like white keys, beautiful keyboard, heavy as anything. But the bottom of it was transparent plastic. And you had crumbs in yours, didn't you?
I did.
And I don't think there was an easy way to dismantle it to get the crumbs out. It was literally like shaking it and moving it and sticking things in it. Jonathan, when that happens, we're going to need pictures. Apple would have you believe the manufacturing makes them more reliable. I don't think so, Neil. Totally agree with you. I had for one iMac, my original iMac did really well for a long time. And I think I just basically wore it out. That one went back for a repair. That was also an issue. But this particular one that ended up going back, oh my, it'd been backwards and forwards that many times. It had air miles. They don't make them like they used to. It's as simple as that. They don't. There was also another one, one of the others that went back, because I think I've had three go back. The last one that went back, its fault developed after about almost 2 years, I think, but I had AppleCare. And the fault, you might remember it, the screen on an iMac is made up of two light boards behind it, and each one is connected to the logic board with one of those thin ribbon cables. And the one on the right-hand side, and it always seemed to be the right-hand side, would wear out. And the screen would go dark from the corner until eventually this darkness crept over half of the monitor. It must have been about 2013-ish when it developed. And Jane had exactly the same problem. She had the same model I did. Hers was in Australia. So hers was bought there. Mine was bought here. The difference was in Australia, the AppleCare repairers would come out to you. So she had somebody come out and they brought the panel and they did the exchange there. They took out the old panel, fitted the new one, and they were good to go. Obviously, over here, we don't have that. So either you've got to struggle into Apple with your 27-inch iMac, or you have to arrange for them to collect and then return, etc. But they don't actually do the repairs themselves. They, I was going to say, what is the word for that? They have agents for that. They have idiots for that. And it's cost them two iMacs in my case. I've only had two repairs with this company, and they were both so badly handled, they ended up giving me a new iMac, which was fabulous for me because, you know, it made it that the model I've got is a 2014 model. And the one that they took in was a 2011. The other one was fractionally older than that. So that would have been, I got a 2013 model instead of a 2010 model. So I came out of it very nicely. But obviously during that time, you've got grief of you've not got your computer, it's gone back, and then you've got to send it back again, and then it comes back to you and it's still not right, you've got to send it back again. It's a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare. That one with the screen problem, I didn't send back for the screen. I just accessed it remotely and it was fine. But in the end, I knew I would send it back, but I thought, well, I might as well wait, see if anything else happens. Because I wasn't crazy about Fusion drives. And I was right, because about 3 weeks before the AppleCare ran out, the Fusion drive went. So I then got onto them, which meant that they needed to do two repairs. They needed to sort the screen out and put a new hard drive in it, which they did. And then it came back. But what they'd done was, it seems to be nigh on impossible to fix an iMac because you have to take the screen off it. And the second you take the screen off it, the static on the inside of it, it gets like dust in it. So when it comes back, it's either got dust trapped between the screen and the glass, or it had a dead pixel. So the first time it went back, it had about five dead pixels. So back it went. Came back again. like two dead pixels, back it went again, came back the third time, and they'd actually damaged the case trying to get the glass off. So I got on the phone to Apple and said, you know, I'm done. And they said, what can we do to make this right? And I said, send me a new iMac. And they did. The second time it went backwards and forwards that many times, I dealt with the company. And I said to the company, you know, this really isn't good enough. They'd sent it back and I've got some fantastic photographs of the box they put it in. It was basically just a box the size of an iMac, 27-inch iMac, quite wide, obviously, to get the leg in at the bottom, which meant there was a lot of space in it. And what they'd done was they'd just shoved broken bits of polystyrene in the gaps and sent it back like that. So I took these photographs and told them they were going public if they didn't just replace the iMac. So guess what? They replaced the iMac. But I don't have any confidence in Apple Kit being better than as good as we like to think it was back in the day. It's not. It really isn't. I've had an iPhone exchanged. I've had an iPod Touch exchanged. You had your iPod exchanged. iPad 1, as we discussed the other day, about 9 times.
Of the iMac exchanged.
The iMac exchanged. That blew up. So, yeah, we've not had good use on it either. Oh, dear me. What can we do? Right. Yeah, I've read all about the sleep-wake issue. That would just be so annoying, Neil, and something that you feel to yourself. If I tell Apple about this, they'll just sort of say, well, tough. So I'm glad they did actually get something done about that one. That would just be completely infuriating. I mean, I pick up my... There are times when I'm quite late, as you know, because I'm fighting YouTube on a Friday night, and I kind of pick up my MacBook Air, get it on the desk and just lift the lid and expect it to work. And I can feel that my watch is like vibrates slightly. It's vibrating because it's opening it up and letting me in. That would be catastrophic for my workflow. So I'm glad they've dealt with that. they kill me with that, Kim, when they start on about how green they are. That's why you maybe need to hear the alternative commentary to an Apple event, because I start ranting. I bought for my dad, Kim, this vacuum you're talking about. We bought a little vacuum for him. Do you remember?
Yeah.
It was battery powered and it was only about 10 inches long. And we said, you've got to keep that keyboard clean. He was religious with it, wasn't he? Mum was like, if only you'd help in the house like that. you don't think they do that anymore. Do you mean exchange them, Neil? Or visit in Australia? She lived in Perth. But was there an Apple store? No, there wasn't an Apple store in Perth.
There wasn't an Apple store in Perth, no.
No, there was the one before she left.
Can't remember.
But yeah, it was a bit real bugbear with Jane. There was no Apple store. But she would come back to visit family over towards Liverpool. And she would have her fix at the Liverpool Apple store. And you've got choices there, actually, haven't you? Because you've also got John Lewis next door.
Yeah.
And they have Kit as well.
Yeah, because that's where I bought the Surface.
So not being able to resell if they haven't been deactivated. Well, Apple just make it more and more complicated. I'll get that link. Spider retention issues, for crying out loud. Is that spider retention gate? Right, I've got that link. Let me get the other link. I don't want to look at this, do I, if it's an iMac issue? Our iMacs are 3 years old this year, which means it's the anniversary of the Brexit vote, isn't it? No, the what's it vote?
General election.
The general election, because that was when we bought it. Oh, I see. Oh, wow. Mine looked similar to that, but smaller. So it wasn't just one pixel. It was like an L shape. But I don't think it was alive. Oh, that's disgusting. That was actually one reason. When I said to you I didn't use the DVD on my iMac, obviously an iMac silver at the side, and I got a small piece of duct tape and covered up the slot because that was the side of the screens that were going dirty on the inside with dust that was going in that slot, so I covered it up. Decided not to use it as a chimney. That's disgusting. That really is, honestly, Apple. They don't visit. There are lots of Apple stores. Oh, that's a shame. That is a shame. I think there's a lot of people don't know the need to be to deactivate it. Anyway, shall we go in and talk about something techie?
Yeah.
Something that will, let me just say for the moment here, Mike, solve Jonathan's problem for free. See how I did that then?
Mm.
Ooh.
Interesting. Yeah.
Are you ready, Jonathan? I could demo this, but you need it for tomorrow, so I'm going to talk you through it. Right. Are you sitting comfortably, Jonathan? Do you have the ability to make notes as you go? Right. Jonathan's problem is Jonathan needs to do a presentation, have it recorded with him in it picture in picture and his slides behind him for free, or at least free, possibly with setup. I love it when you come up with suggestions like this, people. So you need to come up with more suggestions like this because we love it, don't we? For us, that would be a doddle because we have the two applications that Jonathan's aware of. And when you've got an application that does it, you don't tend to think around corners and put the limitations on with, well, I haven't got this and I haven't got that. But when you do, sometimes you can come up with a great solution, and it's a free solution, or at least a cost-effective solution. Right, so our solution would be we would use either Camtasia or ScreenFlow. So the first thing we thought about was is a trial version of one of those. They both make it easy. With both of those, it's a doddle. Which one would I actually use if there was webcam involved? I'd probably use ScreenFlow, because up to now, up to the 2020 version of Camtasia, the quality of the webcam video wasn't great. So I would probably have gone ScreenFlow. Now, if you could get a trial of ScreenFlow, that would have solved Jonathan's problem. But the trial version of ScreenFlow and Camtasia, they may let you export, but they would have a huge watermark across them. Not a watermark you could miss, trust me. It would obliterate half the picture. So we ruled out both of those. They've gone. Right, that left us with some of the alternatives you've heard me talk about, like Screenium, ScreenFlick. The problem with those is, although let me try ScreenFlick. Either ScreenFlick or Screenium would potentially help you. Just don't bother me with that. Just work ScreenFlick. Well, ScreenFlick or Screenium, what you would need with what you need to do is you would need to have two recordings, two totally separate recordings. One of you via the webcam and then one of the screen. Having said that, there is actually no need to have a recording of the screen. If I was doing what you were doing, Jonathan, I wouldn't bother with recording the slides unless there was animation on them. How I work with slides is in After Hours, yes, it's recorded as it's presented. But if I'm doing a YouTube video, I have slides at the beginning of them all that says who I am and welcome to the channel and what I'm going to be talking about today. That is not recorded as video. They are exported from Keynote as TIFFs for best quality, and they are put on the timeline of my video editor. And that way I can control the transitions. That's why I don't tend to have anything in the way of transitions. It's basically a fade and that's it. The other thing that it would enable me to do is have the best quality, because the quality that you get of a recording of Keynote isn't necessarily 100%. Another issue you've got is if you do have to patch something, so you've done a presentation with slides, you've recorded it, and then there's one bit where you've realised there's a spelling mistake. Obviously, you can whip back into Keynote or PowerPoint and you can export, you can fix the problem and export one slide as a graphic and just put that on the timeline. Problem with that is the colours won't match. The colours you get of your slides, if you record them, you record the presentation, is fractionally off. It's off enough that if you had to piece it, you'd see the difference. So that's one thing.
Been there,
done
that many times.
Been there, done that, spotted the spelling mistake after the event. So I don't bother, full stop, recording the thing unless there's animation on it. So if in the presentation I've got one of those scrolly things, you know, the precise scroll where I press a button and a web page moves up, obviously then, although I could do that in post-production in ScreenFlow or Camtasia, it's just easier to do it in Keynote. But what I will do is, now we're probably getting beyond what you need, but what I would do, because I do video all the time, is I have like a setup sheet and I will go through it and I will mark what I need in advance. Because if I don't, then the edit is a nightmare. But yours is going to be much simpler than that. You've got a collection of slides and there's just your talking head. You're not trying to squeeze a million other things in it as well. So first decision is there any animation on the slides? If there isn't, you don't need to record it. Just talk and look fabulous. You don't need to record it. But if you want to, then we're going to end up, hopefully, with two recordings. One of you and a recording of your slide. So would be cool if it could, though. What's that? You don't need to, you just need, yeah. If you could get away with graphics of the slide, that's one way to do it. But I have proceeded here on the basis that potentially you had some animation. So the solution that I've come up with is it will record you and it will record your slides. The problem then is gluing the two together, obviously. Now, the issue you've got is the application that you use to record whatever it is you're recording would need to support recording multiple inputs onto multiple tracks so you can edit them later. Camtasia does that and ScreenFlow does that. They are the ones that do it best. The other ones tend to work on a principle of the cheaper ones, so ScreenFlick, iShowYou, etc., etc., Screenium. They work on the basis that you either don't need to do an edit, or if you do, it's just on one track. So that wouldn't be great. So we then thought, as we looked through Setup, the answer's in Setup. And it's an app that I have demonstrated. Mike can find the show. Let's give him something to do. And it's called Capto. Capto looks and behaves a little bit like a hybrid between ScreenFlow and stroke Camtasia and Snagit. It allows you to take screenshots, just images of your screen. It also allows you to record your screen. So Capto here is your friend. Capto isn't that expensive if you need to buy it outside of Setup. It's a lot cheaper than the other two, ScreenFlow and Camtasia. But it's part of Setup, so for Jonathan, it's totally free. I'm having a look how much... December the 5th. There you go. I'm having a look at how much Capto is if you need to buy it. 40% off right now if you do need to buy it, and an educational discount to boot. So let's have a look. Education upgrade offers. Let's see how much that is. Wow, $11.99. Capto is currently $11.99. So even if you haven't got a Setup, right now is a very good time to buy. Now, the issue you've got in Setup, in Capto, is when you're working in Capto, it will record your screen. That's the good news. It doesn't give you an option to record multiple items. This is the problem. What about DaVinci Resolve? It depends if it does screen recording, Paul. You could use that without, as long as you don't need the recording of the slides. I'm proceeding here on the basis there may be animation on the slides, in which case you need to do a screen recording. I know you can export video from Keynote and PowerPoint. Don't even go there. Do not go there. It's hideous. So I would always advise, if you've got a presentation that you need to turn into a video, just play it and record it. So what you can do in Capto is you can record the screen. Now, you also have at the bottom your webcam. But the problem that you've got with that is you can only record one item at a time. So you either record the webcam or you record the screen. So what I would suggest that you do in Capto is get into the record the screen option. And then as you look at the little dialog box that's shown, it says record computer audio, record the microphone. And then you've got whether you want to record the camera, etc. Now, the problem with recording the camera into Capto is it will do it. It will do it. And it puts it picture in picture. But the picture in picture is 25%, it's in the lower right hand corner, it's right down in the corner, but it's quite big. It's too big, to be honest. So I didn't do that. All I used Capto for was to record the screen. So set up Capto so you record the screen and get that raring to go. Now, obviously, at that point, all you are recording into Capto is your screen, which is your presentation, which you may or may not have decided to use as graphics. Up to you. The next thing you need to think about is, well, that's all well and good, but how do I then record me? So the webcam. Well, that's simple. You just use QuickTime for that. So you go into QuickTime and it will offer you initially to open a file when you go into it. Totally ignore that. Just go to File and choose New Movie Recording. And that will turn it into a monitor, which I would suggest you stick on a different screen, of you talking to the webcam, which I can see here now. I'm waving to myself. Right? So you're using two different apps to do the two different recordings. The screen's being recorded in Capto and your webcam is being recorded in QuickTime. When you are done, you press stop on the pair of them. So Neil says he stopped using Capto, using CleanShot now and screen grabs. I'm sure I tried CleanShot. Isn't that cross-platform?
Yeah, we discussed it.
It's cross-platform, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good one. It was a good one, that. So you've got two recordings. In QuickTime, save the file.
And it's on setup.
And it's on setup, so he's good to go. So you've got your video, your webcam. Capto will open and it will show you a timeline at the bottom. You may be tempted at this point to drag your webcam recording into Capto. Don't do that. Capto only has one editable track, so that won't work at all. What you need to do in Capto is export your screen recording as a MOV. Save that in the same place as you've saved the webcam footage and then close Capto. Now, at this point, you're going to think, oh, need something to assemble them in. You do indeed. And of course, the brief was free or on setup. You've possibly forgotten iMovie. Open up iMovie. Drag the two videos in there. It has that magnetic timeline thing going on at the bottom, so it's not the iMovie I used to use in about 2008 when it was amazing. But drag the screen recording on first. Then drag the webcam recording on top of that. And then you need to go to the magic button, don't you, Mike?
You
had listed, because I hadn't used that button before.
Nor have I. I found it by clicking around.
Which button is it? Because I've got one here that I can actually do it and then
right.
talk it through.
Select the tracks that you want to make
yep, got
into
that.
Picture. And you've got that preview thing at the top.
Right. In the top right-hand corner, you have a preview. So what you'll see in the timeline at the bottom is it looks like one track. And what you've done is you've put one video bang on top of the other. Then what do you do, Mike?
Click the first button, not the one with the magic wand.
No, it's the half and half button, isn't it?
Yeah, it actually says video overlay settings.
Right.
And you should see picture in picture. Well, you'll see a cutaway as a drop down. Choose picture in picture.
And that's my problem, which I was saying to you literally as we went live. I don't.
Oh.
And I've got the latest version, I'm sure.
And I haven't.
Right, let me have a look at it. I'll go to about iMovie. I've got 10.1.14. What have you got?
Both tracks there.
Yeah.
You've got selected the other track.
Well, I can undo it. There you go. I had it there. And you said drag and drop that onto there. Let me get rid of that. And take that and drag it on top of that.
No, drag it on as a separate track.
Well, I'd already done that. You told me to drag it on top. You're cheating.
When I said on top, I meant...
Oh, crying out loud.
Right.
Right, now I've got now picture in picture. Yeah. Right, so you drag it. You totally ignore what Mike told me to do. You drag it above it and it has a kind of blue flag hanging off it. You then click on the cutaway and you choose picture in picture. And it gives you picture in picture, and you can then drag it, move it, and scale it.
You've got to make sure that if you click away from it, if you then want to move it or resize it, you've then got to click on the split button again, whatever the button's called.
I'm just testing that. No, you don't. You just have to click on it on the timeline.
Oh.
He's lying to you. Ignore him. Right,
no, you
so.
Don't. No. If I click on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The handle's disappeared, so I can't move it or resize it.
Well, I can assure you it's working over here. Yeah. Right, you're confusing, Jonathan. Right, so you have as the main magnetic timeline the recording of the screen. You have your video above that, but hooked to it. So it's got a little blue line hanging off it. You click on that, so it's got a yellow frame on it. And you then go up to the preview. You click the first button, and you have picture in picture. You have a cutaway, and you click picture in picture. Even if you click away, when you go back to it, you do have the sizing handles and you can move it as you would like. If you're going to do a picture in picture, I would leave a tiny bit of a gap around it. So you have a gap underneath and to the right. It just looks a little bit better. And then produce it from there, Jonathan, and you are done.
Kim and Johnny would like it done. Kim and Paul would like it done in after hours.
Okay, I will do it on Friday. I will do it on Friday for you. Might get Mike to do some video. That'd be cool, wouldn't it? It's not difficult. You just really need to think ahead. So Jonathan's idea was, I need a video, therefore I will present it, etc. But you might not need to do that. Now, you could, of course, in iMovie, do the image thing and drag and drop them on. I've done a recording with Capto from Keynote and it's pin sharp. So Capto is a very good option for actually recording it. In your circumstances, it's for work. It doesn't need to be a work of art. It just needs to be good enough. You could potentially make it absolutely perfect with images, but it would take you easily five times as long. So in your circumstances, present it while you're recording it, moving the slides, and then assemble it in that way with two videos. And you will be done. I'm looking forward to hearing it, Jonathan. It will work. Honest. Your other option, if you were going to go for the graphics option, you could do exactly the same thing in iMovie. But as Mike pointed out, there's an app in setup called, was it the Pro version? Photo Magico Pro.
Photo Magico, yeah.
Yeah, there's Photo Magico, which I've talked about before. It's amazing. I had an issue where I was given a PowerPoint file with images in and an audio file. And the images were like beautiful beach images and stuff and skies. And the slides had the words on to the song The Prayer by Celine Dion. And the idea was that obviously the music played and the words came up. Not rocket science. Oh, my word. 3 days of banging my head on a brick wall with PowerPoint, Keynote, you name it. It was not having it. I was like, I'm going to have to do it in a video editor, and I need to export it, and it needs to fade in, and it was a nightmare. Now, I don't just start doing it. As I said, I have checklists depending on the video type I'm doing, and I work through these lists. Not just do this, do that. The checklist, it's like a pre-shoot checklist, which would be, you know, what you're trying to do, woman. Is this the best way to do it? Have you thought about X and Y and Z? That checklist is probably my most useful checklist. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking it would just take too long. You know, yes, it could be done, but it's a freebie. It needs to be done by a certain date. It was a presentation thing at the church, I think. And I just decided, no, it wouldn't be worth it. Night, night, Jonathan. You'll miss the other half, so you'll have to listen to the replay. So the way I did it in the end was to take the photos and I used Photo Magico Pro. That let me line up the audio with the slides, and it was the only app that would do it. PowerPoint wants to control over the audio of when it starts to play. The problem with the audio is the way PowerPoint works and Keynote, it tends to think the audio needs to be attached to a slide. And this is a song, and you know, it's 3.5 minutes, and I can't have one slide. And that was the problem with it, and it just would not do it. So I switched to Photo Magico Pro and I actually used it in a demo. But I'm not sure if that ever saw the light of day on YouTube, Mike. How about a demo of Photo Magico Pro while I'm at it? Mm. The one I did in my demo was the life story of, what's it?
Romero.
Oscar Romero. Saint Oscar and Romero now. But it was the only way to do it. And you don't normally think of using things like an app that is what Photomagico is intended to do, is for you to showcase your images with nice Ken Burns transitions on and stuff. You wouldn't necessarily think of it as a replacement or a supplement to something that PowerPoint or Keynote could do. But trust me, it was the only way. So shall I put that down as well? Photomagico Pro. I'll stick it down. I wonder when I did that. Must have been 2016, my guess would be. I'll put Photomagico Pro and I'll put this, I'll put Johnny Eyes video demo. There we go. And that would actually, well, for $11.99 for the ability to record your screen. In fact, you know, you could do it for free with just the setup thing, couldn't you? You could. If I know, you wouldn't even need the setup thing. You could do it for free, but totally free, I mean by that, with not needing Capto at all. You could leave Capto out of it because QuickTime can record the screen, but it cannot record the screen and the video at the same time. But if you did the recording of the webcam first and you played the slides, but you just ignored them. They were there for you to know what you wanted to say. Then when you finished, you could play your video back and get the recorder going again and then go through the presentation and move the slides on manually. And that way you'd get your two recordings via QuickTime and you'd be able to assemble it via iMovie and it would be totally free. If you're going to do this a lot, just buy ScreenFlow or Camtasia or you'll drive yourself mad. But it can be done. It can be done, which was the challenge of the night. So hopefully Jonathan will get the end of that. But yeah, I'll put that in for Friday if that's something that interests you. Absolutely.
A Zoom meeting with yourself.
What about a Zoom meeting with yourself? let me think. You probably could and you would get a recording, but the recordings off Zoom aren't great. There are a lot of configuration options, and I mean a serious lot, thousands, if you have a Zoom account. And yes, it could record itself and you could present. You wouldn't have any editability, so that presupposes that, you know, you don't make any mistakes. It potentially would work. But do remember that your Zoom recordings do have a watermark on them. You could record your screen at the time that you're doing that, and you could have you. It might work, yeah. You could make that work. Let's say that. You could make that work. I'd be concerned about the quality, that's all. And the fact that you editing out mistakes would be a living nightmare. I mean, we never make mistakes, do we, Mike?
No, never. One take Thomas.
Oh, yeah. No, there are times you do one take Thomas, isn't there? Yeah. And then there's other times when they're swearing and cursing.
Yeah.
That happens to me a lot.
200 take Thomas.
A 200 take Thomas. Loving that. Right, consider it done. They are on my list, both of them. Excellent. Right, we need to, you need to contact people, don't you? We'll sort that. But we are back the same time, same place, tomorrow. I'll go now. No, I better not go and see what Boris has had to say. Once a day was enough. Fancy doing it twice. I think he's just trying to beat you into submission with an idiot stick. Let's leave him to it. If you come up with any other suggestions for Friday, let me know. Mike's got his, you won't want to miss this, Neil. You will not want to miss this. This is Forms and Reports, isn't it?
And SharePoint. Asked for by Neil.
Yeah. So Friday's going to be a busy old night. You know, we've never hit 4 hours.
We hit 3:59:59.
We did. We had a show and it was 3 hours, 59 minutes, 59 seconds. I'm thinking, though, you know, 4:02 rather. 5:02 sounds nice to me.
Mm.
4 hour show, Jonathan, no chance. But he would be watching it till lunchtime the next morning. Just saying. He shouldn't leave us to our own devices, shouldn't Jonathan? right, so a little bit of tech there. In the yes, I think it would be better done as a visual demo rather than a talk through. But at least Jonathan sorted for tomorrow. So one happy Mac Bites family. Jonathan sorted for tomorrow. And we're all looking forward to seeing the results of his endeavours tomorrow. Excellent. Right, so for now, it's good night from me.
And good night from me.
And we'll both see you next time. Stay safe, guys.